Hello everyone, I am Jing Jing.
Hi everyone, I'm Ya Jun. Welcome to Woman the Podcast.
Hold on a second, woman or women?
Woman and women. It's our podcast and we are women, as you can tell. So it's a podcast that discusses topics that affect our everyday life. It could be work, lifestyle, culture, love, politics, basically anything that relates to our daily life in this fascinating country.
We know there are already a lot of English language books and podcasts about China, all trying to make sense of this complicated, diverse, and sometimes just crazy place. What we're hoping to do with this podcast, which we think is a little bit different, is to talk about everyday life in China from the inside. Our aim is simply to share observations and exchange ideas about living in China and hopefully provoke some thoughts and debates along the way.
And whether you're living a life similar to ours, we're just interested in what life is like for young women in China today. We're confident that you will enjoy and relate to what we talk about.
On our podcast today, we have invited Kiki Zhao, a former researcher for the Financial Times and the New York Times Beijing bureaus. Kiki has reported on a variety of news in China, including politics, business, foreign policies, social issues, and many others. She recently wrapped up her journalism career and is headed to New Haven in August to pursue a master fellowship at Yale University in East Asian Studies. This episode was recorded a few months ago when Kiki was still working for the New York Times. She explained to us the thinking behind the so-called failing New York Times coverage on Trump, and also shared her personal observations on what her Chinese friends, including friends from the Chinese Christian communities, thought about the Trump phenomenon. Welcome, Kiki. Could you please give a quick introduction about yourself to our audience?
My name is Kiki Zhao, and I've been working in journalism for almost 6 years now. And I started with foreign media in Beijing with the Financial Times Beijing Bureau for more than 2 years. Then I started with the New York Times Beijing Bureau as well. I did a lot of politics and the intersection of politics and finance and how it plays out in the business world.
So how do you feel when you guys were caught as failing fake news by President Trump?
It's more of a joke to me. And I make the same joke afterwards to my friends as well when they mention the New York Times, and I tend to joke about it. I'm like, oh, the fake news, do you still read the fake news now, and please support the fake news, or maybe that's why you don't support the fake news. And you know, like, we try to laugh about it. I don't really think it's a big deal, because you are what you are, and people do read your articles.
So what kind of a general sentiment is there in the bureau right now after Donald Trump was elected as the president, and also after all his speech about basically hatred towards several media, and also banned the media to attend the White House briefing, etc., etc.? How do you feel about it as a, you know, media organization?
Honestly, I don't really see things have changed that much, because you always have work to do. And I think the only thing to react to all of this is to just work and to be open-minded. And I haven't really noticed any major changes in the bureau.
But then your subscription rate has gone up very fast in the past quarter, so that's a good thing.
I guess so.
So that's something you should thank Donald Trump for.
We should. I think we should write him a thank you note for that.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, Chinese ordinary people's perspective or their perception about President Trump is something that you guys pay attention to. Have
right.
you written any articles about this?
Well, my personal experience is that right after Trump's inauguration, the New York Times has been trying to get different reactions from different parts of the world. And so I'll give you an example. Right after his inauguration speech, the New York office wanted an article that can show opinions from around the globe, and of course including China. my boss and I were on duty that week. So the initial thought is maybe I can just go out to grab some people to talk about Trump. Then we thought about it and I said, probably not a good idea. I think in China, if you grab a random person to talk about Chinese politics, I do believe they have something to say. But if you grab a random person to talk about Trump's inauguration and their reactions towards it, I very much doubt they would have anything valuable to share about. Because most ordinary Chinese people, they don't speak English and they cannot even have a channel to listen to the whole speech. And what they have received is from the Chinese media, and especially state media, bits and pieces. And especially because of the timing that was right after the inauguration speech. So I actually doubt a lot of ordinary Chinese people have that much time to really think about it. So my thought was I don't want to just get a random quote. So I told my boss, I said, I don't want to just grab someone random. I want to find someone who has watched the inauguration speech, who actually have thought about it. Then he agreed. And so I started to look for people that can fit into the category. And fortunately, I found someone who studied in the States. And fortunately, his parents, who are Chinese, were visiting the States during Trump's inauguration speech. And it was the parents' first time visiting there. And the family watched the inauguration speech together. So I had his thoughts on it. Of course, you know, he studied political science, so he has a lot to share. But he also shared his parents' reaction. That was very interesting to me as well. Then I remember he told me his dad, who doesn't speak any English, so that he had to translate it for his parents. And when his dad saw that Trump mentioned how the previous American governments have largely failed the American people and how America was such a miserable place, he shared that his dad was very shocked and said, why this president is describing the United States of America as such a backward place that is worse than the feudal Chinese system. Then I thought it's very interesting. It's like the, you know, you want the interesting quotes with insights. So right. We ended up using that.
That's very interesting. I guess for a lot of Chinese people, you know, America means the American dream. Everyone has a big house and everyone can afford a car. Each family may have several cars. I think that's the goal for a lot of Chinese ordinary families. That's why in big city right now, you see people want an apartment, want a car, and that's kind of a demonstration of their status. Mm-hmm. And basically, people want to live the American dream. I can understand that, you know, for parents who come from this background and then listen to American president talking about how bad their life is, it can be really shocking. So do you talk about Trump or presidential election in the US with your Chinese friends?
I definitely do. I think their answers tend to differ. For example, I think there are some Chinese friends of mine whose major news source are actually from the English newspapers. They listen to English podcasts, as I do as well. So I think most of the information that we get on Donald Trump and his policies and how this plays out in modern American politics are from, say, New York Times, CNN, or, you know, New Yorker, and all these major English publications. And they tend to worry a lot about the fact that Trump was elected, as I do as well. Because I think the most shocking thing to many of us was that we have always expected the president of the United States should be at least someone with integrity, with the personal characters you can look up to. And he should be someone, he or she should be someone that you want to be. Or maybe he or she should possess some of the characters that you want to have as well. But now it seems very few of those things exist. It's very confusing, I would say, personally, to some of my friends who share similar views as mine. And some of my other Chinese friends, they have also expressed how joyful they are to see Trump was elected. The majority of that sort of views I got are from some of the Chinese Christian friends. Because I'm quite plugged into the Christian community in Beijing. And I've been pretty observant in following what they say and the articles they publish as well. And I do see many of the Chinese Christians, they have very conservative views on abortion, on gay rights, and especially on abortion, I would say. So they were glad that Trump is elected. And I remember that there was a video that has been posted by a few Chinese Christian organizations on WeChat. So in the video, Trump was standing in the middle. Then some other people were circling him and were praying over him. And I saw people have been posting it. And the comments I have noticed were that, oh, you know, let's hope that Trump can bring the Christianity culture back to America again. That has always been something that profoundly confused me, I would say. Because to me, it feels that although, you know, Trump has definitely appealed strongly to American Christians, evangelicals, but to me, his actions and the things he said differ so much from what the Bible teaches. So I'm wrestling with it, but I can't wrap my head around it. Like, why some of the Chinese Christians, they would hold this view and support Trump.
I remember, like, 4 years ago, or even 8 years ago, the previous US elections, it wasn't very popular among Chinese people here. Maybe people know, right, Barack Obama is the first black president for the United States, but then that's it. However, how I've observed this time is it has become a political entertainment live show where everyone around me were paying attention to it or talking about it. So in that sense, I don't know whether by having Trump as the person who doesn't play by the rules is a good thing for people to know about the US politics or a bad thing, because it kind of turned the whole election and also a democratic system into kind of a joke. So what do you think about this?
I think it's both good and bad. I think it's good in the way that it has definitely attracted a lot of Chinese people's attention. That I have also witnessed how a lot of Chinese people who tend not to care about politics at all are talking about Trump all the time, are talking about the American elections. So I think by drawing their attention, that might be a good thing, because I do think politics play a very important role in daily life. And you know that probably in China, people just don't talk about it or don't think it's important, which I strongly disagree. But I think the bad thing can be that still a lot of Chinese people's resources for news are very biased in my view. You know, many of them, especially people in their 40s or 50s or older, maybe their major source of news is CCTV or their state broadcaster or their WeChat. But what I've noticed during the election was that there have been so many Chinese articles circulating on WeChat, and many of them are not correct. Well, I could say that they're fake news.
They're the real fake news.
Right, they're the real fake news. But they have been so popular on WeChat. I think that's also something I feel is dangerous. I think if people don't have a chance to learn the real news, the facts behind the news, and they tend to make very bad analysis or decisions. But unfortunately in China, I think the channels are very few. I'm not to say that only by looking to English news or Western media, one can get balanced view on politics. But what I'm trying to say that you do have to have different channels. And I do think these major English media, Western news media, which are often accused being biased by the Chinese government or many of the Chinese people, provide a different perspective as well if you are watching CCTV all the time. And I do think it's important for a person to look into these different sources and then to come into a conclusion.
So actually, I'm interested in your like a personal experience. Like, when was the first time you heard of Donald Trump?
The first time I heard of Donald Trump was, of course, when he announced that he would be considering to be the president of the United States. And honestly, I think I thought, oh, okay, whatever. I never really took it seriously because I just couldn't imagine that he could be elected. I guess I have always imagined someone like Barack Obama, and it's the President of the United States. I just couldn't imagine Trump sitting at the White House. There's something wrong there, it seems to me.
So which part of Mr. Trump that you think are not suitable for being the president?
I think for me, to recognize an excellent or a qualified even politician, the first and foremost quality is that person should have integrity, should have a respectful way when he or she communicates with other people, but not merely calling names or shouting, criticizing other people with vulgar terms. I thought it's something you may do privately, maybe when you're angry with your friends or whoever, that I can understand that you use that sort of language to express your anger. But it's very hard for me to imagine a politician, and especially the president of the United States, to speak in that way. That is my bottom line. But you know, a lot of Chinese people criticize this sort of attitude as the Chinese term being 圣母婊. How to translate it into English. It's actually a very ugly word. You are trying to be a saint, but you are actually a bitch.
Saintly bitch.
Probably. I think Chinese people express that term and that feeling is because they think that all people have ugly thoughts and you do curse people when you're angry. But I disagree, because on one hand, it is true that we all have these moments where we curse other people maybe, or we curse a certain thing. But you really should put together, if you're a politician, if you're communicating with this whole population among whom they are children who look up to you, and maybe they would think, oh, to speak like that is fine. And in fact, I think when we get angry and we say improper things, and for most people, maybe the first reaction would be afterwards, oh, we regret of doing that. Well, that has always been my attitude towards communication. But maybe because China is such a society, you know, that it's so politically incorrect, and many people don't really know what is politically correct. So they call everything that is politically correct, or everything that shows courtesy, or your gestures that can show respect, a sort of like saintly bitch behavior. That's confusing to me as well, but I think I probably need to talk to more people who hold that sort of opinions to help me to better understand it.
Right. Maybe just playing the devil's advocate here. Maybe that's the strategy that Donald Trump is taking. If you look at the history of the, you know, the presidents in the past, they always politically correct. Mm. They always, you know, speak in such manner, behave in such manner. They never go off script, and then they smile, they wave, and then they, you know, there's a role to play. I think there are a lot of people in the US weren't very happy about this, especially, you know, the people from an underprivileged background, that they feel like, all right, so you're elite, and then that's how you speak, right, and that's how you communicate with people. But we're real people, and real people do real stuff. I don't know Trump personally, so I didn't know what kind of person he is when he was doing business, or, you know, when he was, you know, in other social environment. I wonder whether that's sort of like a strategy or tactic that he took just to tackle that kind of people to win their support.
Well, I think it's very possible that he has sort of exploited that part of politics to get himself elected. By saying that, I do have spent some time to reflecting on my own thoughts, whether I'm too biased against him and his behaviors, and, well, meanwhile, I haven't paid enough attention to the policies he proposed.
Well, he's building a wall.
Yeah, we'll kick out people. Don't allow people
don't
to
allow
come
people
to the
come
US.
In, yeah.
Actually, I think based on my knowledge, I feel like most of American presidents, they try to pass that beer test, right? You can sit down and have a beer with the blue-collar workers. Mm-hmm. That's how they show their charisma that, you know, we're not an elite. Mm-hmm. Well, we can really help people. Mm. So that's something like what president have to do. But for me, it's that the policy, as soon as he took the office, he just announced a series of weird policy that you cannot imagine a country like United States to stop people from coming to this country. And especially this country is known for embracing the variety from the whole world. The reason that they can develop into this big, amazing country is because in the same city, you have Indian, you have Chinese, you have European immigrants, you have people from all over the world to contribute to the country, to develop the high tech, right? So his policy really amazed me. And I remember it was like on Saturday morning, I heard about his travel ban policy. I just told my husband that I wonder how long he can stay in that office.
That's the question people ask a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
How long he can stay. Yeah, but then there's a change of character when he delivered the first speech to Congress, that he, for the first time, actually speaking with some sense. And also, I think New York Times wrote an article praising his such behavior. So what's your view on this such change of behavior?
I'm guessing that maybe he has been willing to hear more advice from other people. And that's a good thing. I hope that he can listen to advice from other people and to make sound judgments. And it's not only good for America, it's good for the world as well. I hope he can keep up on that. But it seems that, you know, especially like the travel ban that Yajun just mentioned, I just don't know if I can put my faith on him. I think it takes time to see.
Yeah, it takes time for people to regain trust from him.
I guess so, and to really look at how his policies will play out. But right now, I feel that his attitudes towards immigrants is not, I would say that it's not very optimistic.
So I remember we discussed about this, and you are going to the U.S. to study this summer.
Right.
Can you picture your life in the U.S. under Mr. Trump's governance?
Well, I think definitely both during and after Trump's inauguration, there have been talks and reports coming out that say that, you know, like people have experienced discriminations, and especially people of different race. And probably you guys have seen the famous example of the New York Times reporter Michael Luo, who wrote his personal experiences. It was published on the front page that a woman told him to go back home. But while he grew up in the States, he's American. That is a prominent example. And other news reports that we've seen that target, you know, this hostility targeting Jews and other minorities. I think merely seeing from the news reports, it definitely feels that whether intentionally or not, Trump's inauguration has in some way, I would say, encouraged this sort of discriminating attitudes towards minorities. And I definitely have friends asking me, oh, you're choosing a very interesting time to go to the United States. Are you sure you still want to go? And can you imagine your life there? And my answer, I think, it's still, you know, I joke about it. I said, it's probably would be quite interesting, you know, for someone, for a journalist to experience all these different reactions. I wonder what my reactions would be if someone would be telling me to go back to my own country. And I told my friends that I would think such opportunity would be a rare experience maybe. And I think you have to experience it. And you observe. And to be honest, I think I do have this deep sense of curiosity that I wonder what my reactions would be if I'm truly insulted, which I doubt it would happen. But
you should tell them to go back to their own country as well, because it's a country of immigrants to start with, right? Unless that they're native Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, some friends have suggested that. Yeah, some friends have suggested that. I don't know.
Are you already rehearsing what kind of things, like scenario 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what are you going to say to people if people like insult you?
Maybe we should rehearse. but my personal thought, my personal thought is more of that, you know, I kind of view it as a sort of experiment even. Like, I'm actually genuinely curious what my first reaction would be if I'm in that situation. Would that be rage? Or maybe it would be, or would I be feel like deeply insulted or something? I did have imagined, oh, what if I were Michael Luo and in that situation? Mm. But I guess we're very different, you know, he's American, he grew up in the States,
right,
and all that. So yeah, all I want to say is that I guess just being open and experience it.
I have to say that I have a great experience when I was an intern in the US, because before I studied in France for 2 years, and in the middle of my graduate school period, I remember once one of my professors sat in a class facing me and mentioned that Chinese people took away our jobs in the class. And then a few days later, my landlord said, oh, the reason that I rent the apartment to you is because you're Chinese. If you come from Arab or from Africa, I wouldn't rent my apartment to you. Mm-hmm. I feel like back then in France, my personal experience wasn't very pleasant. However, later in the same year, I went to the US to be an intern in the mayor's office in Haverhill near Boston. I remember people were really nice, and people didn't see me as a Chinese, but they saw me as a student who come here to do an internship to try to understand the whole political system. I remember the chief of staff of the mayor's office took me around to education department, to highway department, try to explain how the budget work, how the system work. So when they introduced me, they didn't say, oh, this is my Chinese intern, whatever. Mm. You know, they did just see me as me. So that was very different from my experience in France.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I always have a great experience. Even when people say, you know, in the US, racial discrimination is the issue, but I didn't, personal experience, I didn't feel that much. So that's why I feel really, personally really sad, I can say, that, you know, if such a wonderful country who is so embracing of, you know, variety, turn to the other extreme,
yeah,
and let the people, you know, become like so close-minded. So that's a real tragedy.
Yeah. And I think precisely it's just very, very sad. It feels like a backward in, you know, the humanity, that we came so far to where we are now, and then to be able to respect each other, or at least have the values to respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the US, it has always been a model,
exactly,
in that respect. And now you have someone who openly put racial discrimination on the gender. It's just a very sad experience.
And especially I think it's very precious for us who grew up in China, who may study overseas and then still live and work in China, because we cannot enjoy this kind of freedom. I remember the first day when President Trump was elected, my American friends were really sad. Some of them, you know, like really, really upset. Then I remember I had this con call with the colleagues in the US, and they discussed about, you know, how upset they are for like 20 minutes. At the end of the conversation, I said, you know, at least you guys have the right to choose your president. So
did they say that actually I don't actually appreciate this choice at this time?
Like this kind of feeling is even stronger. People like Obama, who has amazing personal experience, well, who come from humble background, who is African-American, and then become the head of this country. And then you turn around, just Mr. Trump. It's unbelievable.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you for listening to Woman. We would love to hear your feedback. Drop us an email at womanpodcast, womenpodcast@outlook.com. We'll see you next time.